Well, good morning. It's a little bit chilly here this morning at King's. I was talking to some boys who left school last year, and I can tell you that there is snow on the slopes down south, there's frost on the plains out west, and there's a very different educational offering, not just here at King's or in Greater Sydney, but in cities around the country and the world. But what does that mean? What's asynchronous learning? How does it work with our students, our families? Does it work at all? Today, I'm very privileged to be talking to some teachers from the prep and senior school about their experiences in this new online world that it is both challenging and rewarding.
What I usually do is plan a lesson a couple of days in advance and then come back and have a look at it and see, is that too much? Is it not enough? Do I need to zhuzh it up and make it a bit more fun?
I think being online is like having two stages. You have your Zoom teaching stage and then the behind the scenes stage after Zoom teaching. So once we finish the Zoom teaching, I'll be reviewing and marking every piece of work submitted and giving feedback, tweaking plans, checking how it looks online visually to make sure everything is set and ready to go for the next day.
The daily classes seem more hectic, more busy. While you do see the boys probably less face to face or, you know, over the camera via Zoom, the amount of preparation that goes into every lesson seems to have built up a lot.
Face-to-face teaching requires a different level of preparation. In online learning, I need to adjust all of my lessons so that they suit the students and they're engaging, and we also provide enough support for the boys.
We're trying to move forward as best as we can, and the opportunity was provided to some of the boarders to come back at the beginning of term and live in a bubble, which one or two of the students took up that opportunity. And so I've been working with some of the Year 12 students, one in particular. We're on day 25 straight at the moment. We've been doing Saturdays and Sundays because he's in the bubble, so obviously he wants to do some work on the weekends as well. And so we've been doing that, as well as I've been doing just the normal Zoom teaching with my other classes. So there's sort of, you know, two fairly busy things happening at the same time.
When lockdown was announced, I decided to come back to school to focus on my major works. That way it was easier for me to actually get it done instead of being at home where I'd probably procrastinate and then not get anything done.
Prep boys are loving the online space. It's challenging, but they're creative, they're imaginative. And it's lovely to talk to Ms. Shannon O'Dwyer, our Deputy Head of Academics, via Zoom.
Our goal is to ensure that every prep boy wakes up each day knowing that he is seen and known and challenged and cared for by the King's community. So that involves connecting him each morning with his classmates and with his teacher, and then delivering a series of really rigorous and engaging learning experiences. And then on top of that, layering a huge amount of fun and physical activity and art and music and creative arts and spirituality so that we are challenging his brain, nurturing his holistic development, and really taking care of his well-being. We know that distance learning is extremely demanding on parents, and we know that the success of any program like this depends on parents paddling hard at home to juggle work and adequate supervision of young children. So we don't underestimate that, and we can't thank the parents enough for working in partnership with us to keep their sons focused during the school day and then to help their sons get away from the screen when that day ends, jumping on the trampoline and riding bikes to reset their minds and bodies.
One of the benefits that I've seen automatically using the prep model is that the boys are learning to ask questions and advocate for themselves as learners. It's not uncommon for boys to raise their hand in a Zoom meeting, to clarify concepts, and also to seek feedback on some of the work that they've already done. So it's really pleasing to see the boys showing that initiative throughout the Zooms.
I want the boys to have fun every day. So it might be in breakout rooms, brainstorming writing ideas. It might be making sundials in maths, singing for their music lesson, filming basketball drills in PE, or even when we come in on our 2:30 Zoom, dancing with a family member. I want them to feel confident that they are achieving and they are making progress.
Here in the senior school, it is a different ballgame for the students. They can have up to six teachers over those six periods each day. It's difficult to maintain momentum. It's difficult to maintain engagement. So what's that like for the staff? I spoke to some wonderful educators today about their experiences, not just in delivering the content online, but in their preparation beforehand.
With the asynchronous learning on a Wednesday, while that time is away from the boys, it certainly is time that we're still preparing and working on lessons to make sure that every other day of the week can be fully jam-packed with good activities for the boys.
Class preparation has changed in that everything that you would normally verbally say to a student, you also have to put down on paper or some kind of document onto Canvas. So it's doubled, I guess, in that where you would normally be able to stand in front of a class, deliver what you expect them to do. Now, you can do that, you do that, you still do that on Zoom, but then you also have to put it down in a Canvas document so the boys can go back and refer to it during the course of the lesson, or if they don't finish, that it's there for them to use later on if they need to go back to it later on during the day.
I'm a very relational teacher. I really value the feedback that I get immediately in a classroom when I'm working with a student. And so to not have that on a lesson by lesson basis means that we have to prepare for every possible hurdle that comes in a lesson. Every opportunity to differentiate has to be planned for in advance and isn't something that you can just do on a student by student basis.
Yeah, look, it's definitely easier when you're in the classroom and you can have a commerce lesson and say, right, cryptocurrency, tell me what you think, and just let that one play. It's a bit harder in the online space because they've all got things on mute. My classes are definitely getting more chatty. I'm really glad to have the mute all button occasionally. I think every parent needs like a mute all button, you know what I mean? Magic. I love it.
Teachers are acutely aware of the ramifications of online learning to the mental health of the children in their charge. But what about the experts? I spoke today to Jen Michie, one of the integral parts of our counselling team, about her experiences in this new online teaching world.
The counselling staff are finding that because boys are, well, some boys are rolling out of bed, rolling to their chair at their desk, haven't brushed their teeth, haven't had a shower, haven't walked to the bus stop, haven't said, hey, Dad, love you, I'll see you. They're just rolling out of bed into that Zoom environment. So they don't get that hit of dopamine that they're getting when they actually rev themselves up for the day. And a little burst of adrenaline, which just pushes you into, you know, getting your teeth stuck into a task. That's how we normally approach a task or a day. Instead of getting all those yummy, feel-good neurochemicals like oxytocin, dopamine, what they're getting in is stress hormones because they can't connect with their friends and they're not getting sunshine in the morning. So instead, they're sitting there at their Zoom desk, having just rolled out of bed, stewing in stress hormones like adrenaline, cortisol. And instead of burning that off at recess over handball or mucking around with mates, they're just sitting there. And so what that does is just raise the level of tension in the home. And also it means that your distress tolerance is lower. So when like things go wrong, which they always do, little things, it means we just got short fuses. And that's the case for adults as well. So in counselling, what we're doing is trying to get kids, particularly the ones with pre-existing anxiety, in particular social anxiety, what we're getting them to do is to really tap in. What am I feeling? What's this grumbling sort of unrest in my tummy? Can I name that emotion? Because once we name an emotion, we can tame an emotion. It brings that into the forefront so our parents can access that language we're using. Am I feeling misunderstood? Am I feeling betrayed? Am I feeling tired? Am I hungry? So what am I feeling? Can I name my emotion? Thirdly, what do I need? And we know that we can, once we allow children to develop those skills of expressing what they need, then we can actually help them. We can meet them halfway in the middle. If you believe that your child might need extra support beyond what their mentor or their housemaster can give at this point, and if you'd like them to touch base with a counsellor, all you need to do is email us at counsellor@kings.edu.au and that'll come up on the screen now. And we will get in touch with you. You may refer through your mentor if you prefer to do it that way, but we'll get in touch and we'll approach your child gently and sensitively.
Jen, you are bang on. We will get there and we'll get there together. The tunnel seems dark and it seems long, but I can tell you there's a little light flickering at the end and we will get there together. Here at King's, we're going to continue focusing on the academic excellence of each and every student. The character development is going to come from the mental and physical well-being of the students as we go through these challenging times together. Stay safe, be kind to each other, don't forget your vaccinations. We'll see you next time.